Hey, it's Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Today on the show, we took a close look at what's happening in Australia. And why? Because Australia has almost no new COVID positive cases. None. Basically, they had six whole cases across the entire country of 25 million people. And those six cases were actually people who had flown into Australia from abroad. They have zero local transmission of COVID right now. Like literally zero. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. So we wanted to talk about how Australia did it and if any of those measures were applicable here anywhere in the United States now. So that's what we did on the show. And in order to understand that, we talked to people in Australia, we talked to some families and folks who had experienced quite a lockdown. And here's one of the families we talked to.
Okay, my name's Megan Bates from Melbourne, Australia. And I'm a primary school teacher, also a mum to two boys aged 11 and 12. Jump to you, Craig.
So I'm Craig Bates. I live in Melbourne, Australia with Megan, and I work for Microsoft.
So Megan, Craig, and their boys, as you heard, they live in Melbourne, Australia. And Melbourne, not that long ago, emerged from one of the longest, most restrictive COVID lockdowns anywhere in the world. It was basically 4 months long, where most people couldn't leave their houses.
Gosh, yeah. Before life got turned upside down, we were a busy family of four, you know, juggling school, work, the boys' sporting schedules of a weekend. We'd be eating out. We'd be going to the movies and all those sorts of things, I guess, we took for granted. But that all quickly, yeah, came to ahead in March, where we were all, under lockdown.
You know, in addition to that, I used to travel every week for work. So traveling between Melbourne and Sydney mostly, as well as overseas regularly, going from traveling almost every week to now not having been on a plane for 8 months or so has certainly been a big change for us.
So we were all just, juggling for space and quiet and I guess the four walls of this house could have been much greater to give us the space we needed at home.
So we went through two phases of lockdown in Melbourne. We had probably some greater challenges than what we did in other parts of Australia. And so the first lockdown, we were confined to home. You were only able to travel to go out and buy essential items or to be able to exercise. And retail, etc., was still open, but with restrictions.
Yeah, I think at first it was a bit of a novelty. The boys were trying to maintain their connections with friends via gaming platforms. But yeah, that soon became really hard on them.
I think we were in that for about 6 weeks or so from memory. And unlike the other states, it got out of hand in Melbourne. So we were getting to hundreds of cases a day, nothing like you're experiencing in the US. And so we put in place a lockdown, which I think then went for about 11 weeks from end of June, I think it is. And that lockdown was pretty severe. It was not allowed to travel 5 kilometres from your house, not allowed to go to work, all businesses shut down. You're only allowed to leave your house for 1 hour to exercise, and everybody needed to wear a mask as well too. And so, yeah, it was pretty restrictive and really challenging for a lot of people to get through that time.
You know, you can't turn the TV on without seeing the news. So we involved the boys in what was going on and why we needed to do what we needed to do. One of our boys even did a speech for his house public speaking on the history of pandemics. So he got really right into it. Our premier in our state was on 11 a.m. pretty much every day, giving us an update on the numbers. You know, all of us were in the habit of checking the numbers each day, and I guess that unified us all on achieving the goal of what we needed to work towards. Our politicians gave us the goal, like, if we want to be open by Christmas, we need to just follow the rules. We need to social distance and we need to just stay at home.
Going through later parts of October, I think people were feeling really stretched, right? They were really feeling like this really can't go on much longer. And so it felt difficult at the time, but to be able to look into a Christmas time and a summer holidays for us where everything's back open is the best that we could possibly hope for. So I think everyone feels pretty lucky. Even the people who felt very much against the lockdowns and thought that we were doing the wrong thing there, I think really feel, you know, lucky for where we are now.
So that's Craig and Megan Bates from Melbourne, Australia, describing what it was like to live during the four-month-long, extremely restrictive lockdown there in Melbourne. Now, that lockdown is just one of the many measures Australia has been taking to control the COVID pandemic. They also have testing, contact tracing, and depending on where you live in Australia, what state you're in, there are mandatory mask requirements. So they have a lot going on there, including the existence of government-run quarantine hotels. So anyone who flies into Australia, yes, and maybe it's easier for Australia to make these controls because it is the size of a continent and surrounded by water, but anyone who flies into Australia has to stay in quarantine in a government-run hotel. Now, Gerard Ryle is one of those folks. He's an Australian, but he still had important work that took him abroad to the United States and Europe. He's a journalist. And in order to re-enter Australia, he was required to go straight from the tarmac to one of these special government-run quarantine hotels. Now, the hotels are guarded by police, so you can't leave. And he stayed in the hotel for the full 2 weeks of his quarantine before he could return home. His meals were delivered to his hotel room door. He received a mental health check-in daily, and it was a comfortable experience, Gerard told us. But he also admitted that he felt a little resentful for having to endure such strict control measures.
People here are willing to give up certain freedoms to gain this, I guess, and to try and combat the virus. I'm not sure that other countries would have done that. And I'm not sure it would have been possible to do, you know, if you weren't in an island in the middle of nowhere, like Australia is. You know, it's hard to compare. I mean, the weather here is beautiful because it's now summer. It's nice to be able to run without a mask on, to enjoy all the privileges of restaurants and gatherings and everything. But I realize that the world isn't, it really isn't like that. And there were things we had to give up. I mean, I really resented having to apply for a visa to leave the country because my whole working life is about moving from country to country. And I'm used to be able to, you know, getting on a plane, going away for 4 weeks, coming back for a while, going away again. I really did resent the loss of freedom. I was worried that I wouldn't be getting a visa. I realized that I'm one of the privileged few that were allowed to leave the country and come back again. I'm not sure everyone would be happy with that situation. But there's a lot of freedoms that you had to give up. I mean, at one point, everybody here was encouraged to download an app that basically is like a spy app on your phone, you know. And you now, if you want to go into, you know, a hairdressing salon or wherever, you've got to download an app to get in. It's the same with a restaurant. If you do go to a restaurant, you know, they monitor your movements a lot. Yeah, some people would not like this. And as a journalist, of course, I don't like being traced. I don't like people knowing where I'm going, who I'm meeting. It's actually quite an important thing for me. So you are giving up a lot of what I think a lot of people would think of fundamental freedoms. So there's a price to pay here. It's not a price-free zone.
That's Gerard Ryle. He's an investigative journalist and director of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. So through Gerard's story and Craig and Megan's story, you hear a whole variety of perspectives and opinions about what has happened in Australia and the measures they had to take to get a handle on the COVID pandemic. So nothing's easy and it's all complicated, but I keep coming back to the fact that Australia has basically eliminated, as much as it can, COVID from its country. Something to think about. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.